The gospel exists. And that question comes to you, what have you done with the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? What of repentance? That turning from sin and fleeing unto Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? If we are to live for God, if we are to live in this world and live for the gospel of a truthful God, it requires us to acknowledge the existence of gospel truth, but also to believe it. To believe it. To hold fast to it. To have it as our faith. Dear unsaved person, what if you and the truth of God, do you believe it? Do you hold firm to it? Do you see your need of Christ? Not a need of a church, not a need of good works, but a need of Christ. Of fleeing from that sin and looking to the Lamb of God.
This is Lent, the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. And I'm Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program and wishing you and your family a very happy and prosperous year for 2025. I look forward to joining you each day as we preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Give you a warm welcome to our first week of radio programs for 2025. Each new year brings change, and Let the Bible Speak has changed for this year. Since the 1980s, our host has been Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we are thankful to God for our brother's ministry here on the radio and in our church in Cloverdale. We thank you for listening to our programs over the years and appreciate your support, calls, emails, and encouragements in this preaching ministry. From time to time, Pastor Gallagher's preaching will feature on our program. The time has come for change, and I trust that the Lord will bless us as His gospel continues to be preached here on Let the Bible Speak. I'm your host, Andrew Fitton, and I've been the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church since June 2023. I'm originally from Northern Ireland, born in Belfast, before spending time as a child living in England and Wales. I experienced the saving power of Christ as a young child, and during my late teens was challenged by the Lord to enter the gospel ministry. I pastored in Australia and Northern Ireland before moving to Canada in 2020 and settling in my wife's home city of Calgary. It is a privilege to be able to join you each day to preach the Word of God. This new year has brought change, but one thing has not changed, and by God's grace will never change, and that is our commitment to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. This world changes daily, but yet the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is unchanging. It is our desire that you will know Christ as your Savior, believe in His glorious gospel, and walk according to His precious word. As we stand at the door of yet another year in the grace of God, we can have many questions upon our hearts. What will happen this year? What exciting circumstances will come my way? What difficult path will I have to walk? What things will remain the same? What things might change? The reality is that each year brings change for all of us. We are reminded from the Word of God of the immutability or the unchangeableness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We can rest secure in our confidence in the Lord and in His gospel, the good news of the saving power of Christ for helpless sinners. This is founded upon this great unchangeable truth that our God is a truthful God. We take you today to our pulpit in Cloverdale for part two of our message on the subject of living for the gospel of the truthful God, taken from Titus 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. We thank you for tuning in, and may the Lord bless you richly as we let the Bible speak.
In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, Paul says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Numbers 23 reminds us that God cannot be deceived, nor can he deceive. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? For he hath spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hebrews 6 verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Our God cannot be deceived, and our God does not deceive. His words are truthful. He is the truth. The Savior said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And in his works, all his paths are mercy and truth. There were those in Revelation who praised the Lord. "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And there's a little snapshot then here of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and of heaven and the people of God. And what is that thread running through? There's this declaration that God is true, something that cannot be denied by us. And God is true, therefore deception comes from imperfection. Or as Scripture states, the deception, the lies, come from Satan. John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." We need to remember that. The lies in this world come from the father of lies, Satan. But the truth of God is that great, marvelous, and wonderful pillar of our faith. The truth of God, Thomas Watson said, is an immovable rock on which we may venture our salvation. And therefore, when we come to the Word of God is the truth of the infallible God. It is a word that is without error. It's a word that can be trusted. And therefore, coming back to our point here about the existence of gospel truth exists because it comes from a God who is true. Therefore, the gospel we have cannot be a lie because its origin is in the truthful God. And the truth of Christ's gospel is a truth that exists. Men will make all sorts of arguments. They will look at this world and say, well, there was evolution, and there was a big bang that created all things. Man will doubt the reality of Christ and the existence of Christ. Men, especially in fiction, will take the person of our lovely Lord and corrupt him. We can see that in fiction. I went into a supermarket many years ago in the United Kingdom, and I browsed around some of the books, and I noticed this book. I'd heard things about it, by a writer of fiction, and he had took the story of Christ and turned Christ into two people, Jesus and Christ, and one of them was good and one of them was not good. Blasphemy right there. And I opened it at the first page out of interest to see what was actually being said. I didn't buy the book. And the first page made me close it. Just what was being said about our Savior. And I put it back on the shelf. A shelf was packed with these books, and the book I put back slipped behind and went into the back of the shelving unit at the store. And I thought, that's great. Nobody will be buying that copy. I was almost tempted to put all the other ones in the same place. Blasphemy. It's entertainment. It's fiction. But it's blasphemy against the God of heaven. And men will do that. And they will trample over the name of the Savior. Because they do not want to acknowledge the gospel truth exists. Men will say there's no such thing as needing repentance and faith. Men who've been ordained by churches, who have positions in churches, will say that. They'll say God loves us all. They'll take the attributes of God. God is good. God is good. God is love. And therefore, all of us will be found in heaven. We don't need to worry about repentance. Whether you repent or not, that's up to you. But you're going to be found in heaven with all those who have lived in sin and lived for sin and hated the name of Christ. That's a corruption of the gospel of Christ. For Christ himself, what was the message he preached? Repent. Repent. And oh, how grievous it is to see how churches have come to the living truth of God and they've corrupted it completely. Corrupted it. That's a breaking of taking the name of the Lord in vain, twisting and corrupting the character of God to proclaim something that is false. And something that will take sinners to a lost eternity. God is love, yes. But God is just and holy and pure and righteous. And the attributes of God are found in harmony in the gospel. They're not found fighting against each other. They're found in harmony. God is righteous and just and holy. And sin must be punished. But God is love. And we see the love of God in Christ. We see the love of God in the fact that gospel truth exists. And this is what Paul is telling us here. There is a certainty of eternal life, and it is built upon a God who cannot lie. The gospel exists, and that question comes to you. What have you done with the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? What if repentance, that turning from sin and fleeing unto Christ, do you know him as your Savior? If we are to live for God, if we are to live in this world and live for the gospel of a truthful God, it requires us to acknowledge the existence of gospel truth, but also to believe it, to believe it, to hold fast to it. To have it as our faith. Dear unsaved person, what if you and the truth of God, do you believe it? Do you hold firm to it? Do you see your need of Christ? Not a need of a church, not a need of good works, but a need of Christ. Of fleeing from that sin and looking to the Lamb of God. Oh, that you would not listen to this world that twists and corrupts the gospel of Christ. The truth of God exists. The truth of God exists in his word. And we see that. There is a gospel, and Paul the apostle strove to preach that gospel because men needed to hear it. And dear unsaved person, you need to hear that word, convicting you of your sin, pointing you to Christ who can save. Oh, we think of your sin. We think of your iniquity. You might not be the worst sinner in this world. You may be one who, you could say, is not involved in great sin. But yet, does your heart know Christ? That's where the answer is. I've met men, and you could assume that they are good, righteous, godly men because of how they conduct themselves. But that's not the heart. That's outwardly. That's outwardly. It's the heart God sees. It's the heart that needs cleansed from sin. It's the heart that must repent of sin. And it is the heart that the gospel that exists deals with. The heart of man that is desperately wicked. Oh, that you would turn and have that great certainty of eternal life, of salvation through the Lamb of God. But when we think of the existence of gospel truth, there is an encouragement to us. It encourages us to rest solely upon the Savior for salvation. The truth exists. We know the truth. The truth points us to Christ. And the truth encourages you to rest upon Christ. Not to build your salvation on Christ and works, but to rest upon Christ. The Apostle Paul was a man who was religious, a man who was zealous. But what did he need for salvation? Christ. Just Christ. Only Christ. It didn't matter how zealous he was. It didn't matter how religious he was. It didn't matter how much of a good teacher he was in the ways of God regarding the Jewish faith. He needed Christ. That was where the line was drawn. Without Christ, he was lost. With Christ, he was saved and delivered. He rested solely upon him. The existence of gospel truth encourages us to have peace with God. Because gospel truth exists, therefore, we can be reconciled to God. We can have peace with him. Instead of rebelling against him, instead of warring against him, there's this blessed peace as that middle wall of partition is broken down and we are drawn closer to Christ. It encourages us to possess that gospel truth, to know that gospel truth, to believe it, to live it, to learn it, to grow in it, because that truth is so vital to our lives. Dear believer, are you growing in gospel truth? By that I mean knowing more and more of Christ. The gospel saves you and delivers you. But the gospel also brings you closer to Christ. And the gospel teaches you more of Christ. And it is through the gospel truths that we learn of Christ and are sanctified. And grow in Christ. It encourages us as well to serve the Lord. This is what Paul was doing. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ, committed to preaching the hope of eternal life. He was serving the Lord because that truth meant so much to him. There's a God who cannot lie. All of man's religions are lies. And Paul went out to serve the Lord. Does that truth that God cannot lie in the existence of truth that saves, does it encourage you, dear believer, to go and to tell others, to live for God and to live for his gospel by the standard of your life, by going and holding high the banner of the cross, by your language and by your actions and by your care and by your love, showing forth that your life is built upon the gospel of a God who cannot lie. It encourages us to endure hardship for Christ. Because this truth is so valuable and so precious to us, oh, will we suffer hardship for it? Men have died. Men have suffered because they believe the truth of a God who cannot lie. Where do we stand in that regard? Do we believe the gospel because we have a comfortable life? Do we believe the gospel because we sit in a church that has comfortable seats? A church that is not open to the elements. It's warm today, but in Canada it can be cold. I've been in church when it's been minus 30 or more outside. Maybe you have been as well. And you're thankful to God that you're not meeting outside. That your beard is not having the chunks of ice on it that comes from being outside too long. That you're sitting warm inside, worshiping God together, rejoicing in the comfort we have. But what if there was hardship? In Scotland, many years ago, I went to see a place where they had a conventicle. It's a place where many of the Covenanters who were told they could not meet went. They went out into the wilderness of Scotland, really, to meet. And where I was, it was very close to a main road. It was very close to a town. But back 400 years ago, it was the middle of nowhere. There were no vehicles to take you. And men and women and children traveled to this place, open to the elements, to meet with the God of heaven as we are doing this morning, because they did not have that freedom. But they persevered and they endured that hardship. They walked, they went on horses, they went in the rain, they went in the cold. They went amidst the fear of their lives to meet with Christ because they valued gospel truth. Oh, we have it comfortable. And we can rejoice in that. It's a privilege to be able to come and sit in comfort. We should rejoice in that, but it's a privilege. Let us remember that. It's a privilege that many believers over the years and even today do not have. Let us view it as a privilege. But what if that privilege was gone? What if to follow Christ meant hardship? What would our view of gospel truth then be? Would we still cling to it? Would we still live according to it? Oh, what a challenge there is for us. And it encourages us in commitment to Christ and in commitment to His Word. Commitment to Christ and commitment to His truth. Oh, we need to be committed. And in part of that commitment, we can see that we are to be those who are to be true like our Heavenly Father. Thomas Watson said, "Let us be like God in truth." Live out God's life, or live out God's truth in our lives. Be true in our words. Be true in our profession of religion. Be true in our hearts concerning the God of heaven, because He is true and He cannot lie. And let that then be our great example, that in life we follow our God who cannot lie. Let us flee lying. The commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." We don't have time this morning to go into all that is taught in that commandment, but it teaches the proclamation of truth, holding to the truth, proclaiming the truth, fleeing from that which is not truth. Oh, dear believer, may we live a life of truth for the glory of our Savior. As we live in light of the gospel of our truthful God, let us acknowledge the existence of that gospel truth, and may that gospel truth impact our hearts, drawing us to Christ, drawing us closer to Christ.
To grace. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. and we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.